/workyourba.
Welcome back to Radio Free Thinker. We're winding down on our show today, but we wanted to bring up a really interesting story that's sort of making the rounds here in Canada, and that involves a climate scientist suing the National Post. What's going on with that?
So here at the University of Victoria, there's a scientist called Andrew Weaver, and he is a climate modeling scientist. So,
Andrew, if you're listening to our show, we'd love to have you on.
He was involved in writing the IPCC's report on climate change, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and there's been some controversy over his statements regarding, you know, human-caused climate change and its reality. And the National Post, which is a sort of conservative paper here in Canada, published a number of articles that sort of call him out on his work and say some things which Weaver says are not true. And so a team of lawyers acting on behalf of Weaver have filed a lawsuit against the National Post, basically saying that these articles published from December to February contain misrepresentations and some bold lies about Andrew Weaver's work, things that he has said, and things in the IPCC report, things about the reality of climate change and it's being caused by humans. So he's suing for libel.
Now, as I understand it, he's made some pretty drastic, demands, requests in his legal statement regarding what the National Post is supposed to do. I mean, they're supposed to retract everything, not just the printed material, but also the online material, the comments, everything that goes along with his work, right?
And not just on their own website. He has basically demanded that they take it down on any website that's linked to it, and that information all over the web somehow disappears, which is, it's just ridiculous and impossible.
Yeah, I mean, like, the reason he says this is because, if we sit back and do nothing, if I sit back and do nothing to clear my name, these libels will stay on the internet forever. They'll poison the factual record, misleading people who are looking for reliable scientific information about global warming. Now, I guess it's a good reason to try and take down these factually inaccurate articles. But at the same time, if you're on the internet and you're assuming everything you read is true, you're an idiot.
I think part of it, though, is, I mean, I think he's kind of said it there. He's actually making a symbolic thing, because you're right. Once things are on the internet, it's impossible to retract them all from everywhere it is. But if the National Post is forced to retract them, and two, more importantly, they're going to think twice before they're willing to jump on unfounded type things. I mean, I was going to bring in the idea of free speech here, but actually I think this is, again, a great idea of where sometimes free speech needs to be limited. The stuff that was said about Weaver, about the climate gate, etc., was not only subjectively wrong, but I mean was factually wrong and misleading and leading to that. We talked before about how weathermen in the United States in particular are largely not on board with human-caused global climate change, even though they believe the science, they believe the scientists, but they have this political irk that tells them to go the other way. Either it's in the place where they work or their own political views. And I think part of that is that, and one of the things I wanted our show to promote in itself, is that skepticism can go beyond science, that there is areas in the area of politics and history and all that where skepticism is important to have. Not to say that, you know, this particular view is right or this particular view is wrong, but let at least agree that these certain things are what we know and that you're not allowed to manipulate the facts to promote your own particular ideology.
Yeah, people other than scientists in fields other than science make factual claims. And those claims can be tested. So in this case where there are several claims in the articles in the National Post that say things like annual global mean temperatures have stopped increasing in the last decade, or that climate change models are falling apart. These are factual claims that can be shown to be right or wrong. And Andrew Weaver obviously thinks they're wrong, and he's suing the National Post for publishing incorrect facts.
Well, interesting, too, to point out, obviously in a legal battle, he's going to come from a position of strength. He's not going to say, okay, look, I just want you guys to make a public apology. He's going to say, you know, I want you guys to take all of it down right now. And they're going to argue their way to a reasonable compromise. Now, the big question I have here is, who is responsible? The journalists who wrote the original articles? Or do they have a science degree? Are they just wrong, in which case maybe they should be, you know, asked to go back to school? But or is this opinion? Is the National Post saying, look, we have a political bias, everybody knows that, here's our political bias at work?
It depends on how they're presenting the articles. Unfortunately, we didn't have time to read the actual articles in the National Post, but if they're being presented as, you know, unbiased journalistic reporting of fact, then this is clearly wrong. But if they were, you know, if they were saying these things as part of something, you know, marked in the editorial section or as an opinion piece or a column, then sure, clearly it counts as opinion and, you know, Weaver's case might be a little weaker. But if they're presenting it as fact and it isn't, then there's a problem. And I think that the journalist should be held responsible.
I think, speaking of, sorry, of opinion, I mean, another aspect that's in here, and this is secondary, and I won't get on a high horse on it, but, I mean, we have media concentration, right? And because of an economic model that we have for media, a lot of newspapers and all that, I mean, I'm quite sure part of these reporters looked at whatever was on the blogosphere, whatever was on Fox News, whatever was on The Guardian, said, hey, they're writing about this. I'll just, you know, quote mine a few things and I'll write my story to get it in on the cheap. And part of the things that you lose without having a very vibrant, very active media environment is you get these things. I mean, one of the things that could have stopped a lot of this in the bud is if you had a number of counter news sources that would have gone to Weaver and said, hey, you know, we heard that you're full of poop, and is it true? What? How can you defend yourself? And they present a counter story, and that's how you get a lot of these things. They blow up is because you get an echo chamber, and that's why they use the term echo chamber. Everyone is on the same side. They're either on the same sources or they can't afford to get their own sources.
But even on that line, I mean, we do have sort of the counterpart to the National Post is the Globe and Mail. One is sort of a left-centrist, one is a right-centrist paper. And we kind of expect that they'll each take the opposite side. Sort of like in the United States, you have Fox News and you have CNN or ABC News or whatever, right? And you get the same sort of problem, though. You basically just get this sort of ping-pong effect. You know, the National Post says X, so the Globe and Mail is going to say Y. And Globe and Mail says white, National Post is going to say black, regardless of what the science or the reality is. If they say this, well, we're going to say that. That's just how it is.
Which is unfortunate and misleading to the public when, you know, media in North America is presented as this unbiased reporter of fact. I think that's an assumption that more and more is being shown to be incorrect. But as it stands, if Weaver's case has legs and it turns out that the National Post was presenting lies as fact, then at the very least, they should, you know, post on their front page and on the internet, you know, very clearly worded statement that says, we made shit up.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, you know, just more evidence for why major newspapers, not just in Canada, but across the world, are going bankrupt. So we encourage our listeners to, you know, if you want, read a newspaper, but more likely you should just, you know, read our blog or something. Speaking of our listeners, we've gotten a number of emails recently, and, you know, we're not really going to read them online because there's no question or anything, but we do want to acknowledge the fact that lots of our listeners are writing in to say, hey, we enjoy the show, and we should acknowledge, hey, we love when you guys love our show, and if we can do anything to make the show better, if you guys think that we should cover something more in more detail, or if you think maybe we're giving the short end of the stick to something, please let us know.
And a special thanks to Vitaly, who created an entry for our show on Dig. So if you dig the show, please go and dig it on Dig.
Yeah, Dig is sort of like this thing where you can be like, you know, I dig it. And it goes up.
Yeah,
and
well, there's a website that has the most digged things, as in who thinks this is a great thing. So if everyone likes this, then we'll... And boy, wouldn't it be great if we became viral? Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that would be an anti-vax movement I'd be against.
They'd have to vaccinate them against us. Whatever, it's not good. Anyway, we're running out of time. So, few skeptical highlights. The blue whale skeleton that's going up here at UBC. Where is that again?
Yeah, it's at the Beattie Biodiversity Museum here in here on UBC. And the public unveiling will be on May the 22nd. But if you go by the building, you can probably get a few peeks at it through the windows.
That's so cheating.
Take a peek and then go and see it, because it's bound to be awesome.
I have one also out there, Vancouver Degrowth. It's at the W2 Storium,